praise the Lord if you won't be moved. Come on, if your perspective is switching. Come on. If your perspective is switching, it's changing, it's shifting right now. You're not worried about what's in front of you. You're not hanging on to your past, whatever is going on. You have moved on. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. Amen. You may have your seat real quick before you even ask. That is a Kingdom Life original. So you can't find that on the radio right now. Amen. They actually wrote the song. Amen. Let's get them a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm blessed to be here on tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. Good to be here. Good to be here. To the general and the angel of this house and to the woman of God that stands beside me. Let's give the Tonys a hand clap of praise. Amen. I call him the general. It was like, you know, I know it's going to be serious. Amen. So astute. I told him in the audience, he and Pastor Brandon kind of remind me a lot. They just have like this fatherly figure. You just kind of just chill out. You don't even say too much around him. He took probably about a year ago now. He did reach out to the three of us, myself, Paul, Lord, and Chris. He just didn't want anything. You know, the young people got this term called sunning. You're trying to sun them. I mean, you know, somebody trying to just take you under their wing, and nothing's wrong with that. But you kind of lord over him. But he wasn't trying to sum us or anything like that. He really just wanted to encourage us. Wanted to let us know that, hey, I'm here for you. And I appreciate that, amen. You know, you don't have to sit around and fight against nobody. We're going to do it like you, amen. But we good. To all the other ministers in the house, we appreciate you all, amen. Kingdom Life, I thank y'all for coming out. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming out. To my covenant brother, who he wants to sit in the back. We'll let him sit in the back. But, I had to go ahead and preach tonight, because he's going to preach some for me tomorrow anyway. So y'all probably hear me twice, all right? I'm just joking. Paul Little and I joke like that. Let's give Pastor Little a hand. Amen. I think I saw Pastor Gibson come in. We'll give him a hand as well. Amen. Amen. And to the woman that holds it all together for me. Amen. I know my wife. Amen. And my daughter, they came. I do want to take this opportunity lightly. As I continue to talk, turn to Acts, the 16th chapter for me. I do, Pastor Tony, want you to know that how grateful I am. Because I know that you are one of the homiletical geniuses. So homiletical genius, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was there. He preached Patrick's installation. And he was, the prophets were like the Bluetooth or something. I was like, what? You know, you missed it. But how many of you did enjoy the blended worship on tonight? Did you enjoy that? I was smiling and laughing at my musicians because they were trying to catch some of the old school stuff. I was like, yeah, I gotta take y'all back a little bit. but it was good. I tell people, you know, I'm Baptist, so every now and then I like to hear a good hymn. Amen. Amen. Go to Acts 16, verse 14. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Amen. When you have it, say, I got it. Pastor Sheldon, good to see you too, brother. Good to see you, Pastor Brown. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. You got it? Let's go. It says, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of that very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the night. Let us hear a word from you, God. Challenge us on tonight, God, to get up out of our complacency if we are complacent. Challenge us, those who are moving, to still go higher. But not only higher, let us have depth. Ground us in your word on tonight, God. Speak to us, God. Do not just let us be hearers of your word, God. Let us go out and be doers of your word. Let us speak life on tonight, God. Impregnate us with destiny on tonight, God. God, change our whole atmosphere in our mind. Let our homes be changed first before we even go out into the community, God. Meet the needs in our house. Meet the needs of this house. Now, God, as I always pray, circumcise our ears that we may hear and our hearts that we may receive. Loose us to do your will, that we may bring glory to you. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen. As you go to your seat, look at somebody and say, "The need to breathe." And I say, the glory of prayer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell somebody, "The need to breathe." When we look at this text, we're trying to figure out how does Paul end up in this area first by being denied by the Holy Spirit not to go into one other part of the world that he wants to go into. He wishes to go in, but then he receives a vision of a man asking for help to Macedonia. So here's the thing I want you to know. When you have something in your mind, in your heart, are you open enough for God to change your plans? So first of all, Paul had one thing in mind, but the Spirit had another. And so we must always say, those in Romans 8, it says, those who are the sons of God shall be led by the Spirit of God, not led by grandma, not led by nanny, boo-boo, or auntie. I need to be led by the Spirit of God. I need to stay still. I'm sorry, I walk a lot. I apologize. Okay, because I'll move up here. I'm burn some calories. Amen. About the best way I'm going to burn them today, probably. Amen. And so what we see here, we see Paul ends up going here, and he runs into Lydia. And I know that you are a word church. And so for every text, there has to be a context. And so I had to tell you, how did he even end up here? Because really, I jumped into the middle of a whole story. Now, I want you to remember how he got here. Put a pin right here. He saw a vision. Say, he saw a vision of a man that said, "Come to Macedonia. Come to Macedonia." So Paul said, I can't go where I want to go. I got to go where the Spirit is telling me to go. But I noticed something like this. You have to understand this, that when Paul gets here and Lydia, they are going to a particular place. I'm going to try not to be too long tonight, amen? And it said, it happened. This is what happened. It said, it happened that they were going to a place of prayer. A slave girl came. Slave girl came, and it said she had a spirit of divination, and he was bringing her masters much profit. But she said she kept crying out something. But here's the thing that interests me. If we're going to talk about glory in the church, first of all, it must be in you, right? Because the Bible tells us that God has, in Psalm 8, he said, "What is man that thou hast crowned him?" So watch this now. I know he said we don't have no glory in ourselves, and I get that for a minute, but you can't give God nothing that you don't have. So he first had to give you something to get to him. It's like your tithe that you fight over. You can't give it unless he first give it to you. So if you're going to give him glory, he must crown you with glory. That's why when we see in Revelation, it said that they cast their crown. So they gave him glory. And so we have to understand that. Now, first of all, we understand if there's going to be any type of glory, then that got to be proud. But watch this now. It said that he was going to a place of proud. I want to ask you now, my first point is just simply this. Do you have a place of proud? Do you have a place of proud, first of all, in your very house? We know that they say that Jesus tells them, they said, my house shall be a house of proud. But guess what? It can't be no prayer in this house if ain't no prayer in your house. So first of all, do you have a house of prayer? Is there a specific place that you have designated that this is where I go see the Lord? Tell somebody I need to have a place of prayer. We must have a place of prayer. We show up for everything except prayer. I ain't mad at you. We show up for the preaching. I ain't mad at that. But they say when they were all together, it's a book say when they were all in, the place was shaken. The place was shaken by prayer. Ask somebody, do you have a place of prayer? Do your children see you praying? Do they know this time right here, don't call uncle, don't call daddy, don't do anything, because guess what? They praying right now. Is there a sanctuary in your house for prayer? I'm talking about when the last time you snotted in prayer? When the last time we said prayer began at 6:30 and you were there at 6:15 waiting for prayer? We pack it out for preaching, but we don't pack it out for prayer. Is there a place for prayer? Tell somebody that you need a place for prayer. Now watch this now. As they are going along on this prayer, the lady shows up. I'm trying to go to prayer, but you keep showing up. So watch this now. This is, it says, Pastor, that she was calling out that these are men of God. So she wasn't lying. But it's the motive of why she was saying what she was saying. There are some things that cause us. And it's true. That don't mean we got an answer to it. God, watch this now. She didn't show up until they were going to pray. Yeah, y'all ain't with me right now. That's okay. So you keep saying every time I try to pray, you don't realize, point number two, you must protect your prayer time. See, watch this. I don't care what's your title. I don't care what they call you. Guess what? If it's interfering with your prayer time, then you need to cut it out. But I got to bold me. I got to go to shopping. Is it doing prayer time? See, we're not protecting our prayer time, and we're wondering where the power is. They asked Bishop Jay this one time. They said, it seems like everything that you touch turns to gold. And he thought about it, and he says, well, one of the things you got to realize, he said, wait, I don't touch everything. So just because they ask you to sing at the church down the street, anniversary choir, don't mean you got to take it. Y'all don't want to hit it. Tell somebody to protect your prayer time. Watch this. All preachers, you can't speak right if you don't hear right. So you can't speak for God if you don't hear from God. You can't be a leader if you're not spending time in prayer. Other than that, we are leading out our flesh. Watch this. I'm talking about, watch this. You didn't even got to be in the church. I don't care if you're the head or the flip the burger committee. You need to be in prayer. Your prayer life ain't just for church. Your prayer life is for every day. I need to pray, Lord, how to be a husband. I need to pray to know how to be a father. I need to pray so I won't knock somebody out. I need to pray so some words won't come out my mouth. But everything is fighting with that. But you don't realize it is. Under the bottom of that, it's a spirit of distraction. And watch this. The enemy don't have to have you to sin all the time. He can just keep you busy. He can just keep you out of the presence of God. See what I did? If he keeps you out of the presence of God, you can't represent God. Because you can only catch the fragrance of God when you're near God. And watch this. There is no fragrance on us sometimes because we hadn't been with him. So you smelling like everything else except where you been. Go home with the wrong perfume on, homeboy, and see what happens. Show up with the wrong cologne on, you see what happens. Tell somebody, you got to protect your prayer time. She was telling the truth, but guess what? See, I get asked all the time, and I'm not, you know, pastors already giving my bio and stuff. And you mentor my son. And I'm not knocking that. You asked for God to be you. You want to be you, but you have to realize that Jesus didn't even answer everybody. Let me give you an example. He had just got through, I think it was feeding 5,000 somebody, healing a lot of people. And when he came down, the disciples came and said, hey, the people are still looking for you. Guess what he said? Mm-mm, let's go to other cities. Because they gotta hear this gospel too. You have to be led by the Spirit and not all the time about people wants and needs. Maybe you're in the way of God really doing a work. Now, hear me because I like to teach you in balance. He will work through us. He will work through us, but you must know whether or not you are empowering or enabling. And some of us are enabling because we stand in places too long. You scared to see. See, you got the Superman complex because you got to be the Savior. Ain't but one somebody can save him. All you got to do is to serve and to keep moving. My wife used to just tell me, I'll be going home. Like she said, baby, all you can do is preach the word, amen? Tell somebody, just preach the word. Tell somebody, hey, just serve what you can serve. But watch this, though. She shows up every time they go to pray. What shows up every time you go to pray? First of all, is there a specific time that you have set aside to pray? Are you texting during prayer meantime? Are you talking during corporate prayer? See, every time, you got to watch this. Every time something comes up, you have to realize, you got to be wise enough to know, what is it that they're trying to keep me out of prayer from? Because if I can't pray, I can't get no revelation for my situation. If I can't hear the Lord, how am I get wisdom? Watch this. It depends on where you read it at. When you read it, I think in Chronicles, it says that Solomon didn't necessarily ask for wisdom. This is what he asked for. He asked for a discerning heart. Watch this. He asked for a discerning heart, which tells me wisdom is the fruit of relationship. Which means I can't get wisdom unless I'm in relationship. What helps me with my relationship with somebody is when I talk to them. So I can't get wisdom from God unless I'm talking to God. And God don't speak to my flesh. God speaks to my heart. So in other words, I got to get in prayer if I'm going to get wisdom. Tell somebody you got to pray. So tell somebody, we must protect our prayer time. And notice this now. See, you still playing with it. Well, I heard one say the phone rang. He got tired of it. Come out right now. Some of us still playing pity pat with the spirit. You don't really want to pray. You want to go ahead and say, I dealt with it. No, you ain't dealt with it. You got to be vigilant about your prayer time. You got to know that my life depends on my prayer time. I got to lead people on my job if my prayer time is important. This is a spirit that's attacking me right here. And this spirit is trying to keep me from something. And the main reason Paul knew it was a spirit because he had relationship with God. And then through his relationship came his rulership. So we're not walking over anything because we ain't ruling in anything. And the only way I'm going to rule is to know who I am. And the only way I'm going to know who I am is to spend time with him. So it's through my intimacy that I know my identity, and then I can make an impact. But if I don't know who I am, I let the enemy just beat me upside the head. So Paul said, I ain't got time to play. You getting on my nerves right now. We put up with everything except somebody taking our prayer time. You put up with the 2 a.m. calls. Shabbat. You put up with everything else. When you gonna get mad about your prayer time? Are you really vigilant about your prayer time? Do you ever get up? Do you set your alarm clock just 30 minutes early? This is what I did the other day. I'm gonna keep moving out your way. Well, I was in Bible study the other day, Pastor, and I put up all the days that we come to church at Kingdom Life. Now I travel because we got this new school. You can't church them a lot. You can't church them a lot, and you can't church them long. I told you I came on Baptist Pentecostal, right? Came on in Union Baptist. When I got discipled, in the old school Holiness Pentecostal church. You'd be there all day. Praise the Lord. I guess I just was a ranch, and I need to be there. I was at the altar all the time, just crying and wilding. But anyway. So I put now all 4 Sundays, all 4 Wednesdays. And Paul, this is what it came up to. I think for the total hours in a month, all together, it's like 670 some hours. The 8 days, or however many days that we're in church, only come up to 10 hours. So I was a liberal arts major, so I didn't do math and all that. So I asked the smart guys, I asked the millennials. I said, what's the percentage, if you came to church, all 4 Sundays and all 4 Wednesdays, if it's 10 hours. You divide that in, it's 1.5% of your time is in church. What you doing the other 98? And we round it up to 1.5. It's really 1.48 something. So here's the thing. If you think coming here 4 Sundays and 4 Wednesdays is just going to give you power, then you are greatly mistaken. And what you have done is putting all of your spiritual life on him to get you through your week. When we all have to be on our face seeking God for ourselves and praying for him and praying for each other. That's if you come all 4 Sundays and all 4 Wednesdays. You're going to come 1.5% of your time and expect the preacher to just preach the hell out of you. You ain't giving him no help at all. You ain't a co-laborer with him. But if you were to get on your face, some of your counseling would go down. Some of your plain complaining would go down. Some of your serving would go up. Your praise would go up when you came in here. Because you'll say, Lord, help me. all that pressure on pastors or on your leaders, period. Let me keep moving. Steve, you good over there? He know why he asked. He know why I asked that, but I'm good. Amen. Watch this now. Not only must you have a place of prayer, not only must we must protect our prayer time, we really must know the power of prayer. You really have to know the power of prayer. Because this is what true prayer would do. They cast out the demon, and it said that all their hope for profit was gone. So through the power of prayer, it disrupted a demonic economic system. Your prayer ain't just for you to come in here and shout, blah, 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 and run. You tearing down strongholds. You casting out demons. You doing all that type of stuff. It ain't just for you to come in here and feel good. We going to upset some systems in here today. It all begins in your prayer room. Notice this. The disciples, one of the main things they asked to learn how to do, teach us how to pray. Now, we need good preaching. It's not recorded anywhere in the canon about teach us to preach. Teach us to pray. Because we realize when you go around that corner and come back, something happening. And you ain't preaching around the corner. You talking to God or somebody. So he said, well, okay, well, when you pray, pray like this. I don't see no scripture say, well, when you preach, preach like this. But he said, well, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, I mean, just all of us are here together. Which means you got to go see daddy for what you really need. Teach us to pray. Watch this. But pastor, you still ain't told me why it's the need to breathe. Glad y'all asked. When you look at it, this says that she had the spirit of divination. I'm a nerd a little bit too. Spirit of divination, real divination, it's the Greek word pythos, or python. And so it was from the Greek god Apollos. So she was a worshiper of that region, was the worshiper of Apollos, and the symbol for Apollos was a python. It was a snake. Now, let me put this together for you, because y'all looking at me like you're still trying to figure it out. So, notice this. Who showed up every time they went to go pray? The girl with the python spirit. Y'all follow me. Watch this now. How do pythons kill their prey? So watch this now. So every time they go to pray, the pythons show up. So when the pythons show up, the python's bite ain't what makes it lethal. The python kills you by squeezing you to death. By suffocating. So what he's saying is, prayer must be equal to air. Y'all, get me. Let me slow down. If the word, Paul, can be synonymous to bread and sometimes walk, it was like natural, like spiritual. So that what is synonymous to the air we breathe? The Bible says in Genesis that God formed man out of the... He wasn't finished. Then he became living. The word tells me that the word of God is inspired. So I need prayer to live. But every time I go pray, the snake show up. Some of them, I'm still trying. I'm not the snake. It's slow. It's taking its time. And it constricts. So every time you try to move, it squeezes. Y'all hear me right there now? Let me give you like this. Let me give you this. I'm finna get ready to go. I look like a linebacker now. That's okay, I can talk about me. But I did not. But I'm going to put a picture of real soon when I was in high school. I'm giving a no-look pass. I played point guard or two guard. So when I gained this weight, I developed something called sleep apnea. What sleep apnea does is you try to sleep, but you're not getting enough air. So what happens is you're asleep, and you, my wife would wake me up and say, "Hey, breathe." So watch this. I'm asleep, but I'm not resting. Cause in the middle of me sleeping, I can't breathe. And what happens is your heart beats faster because of the lack of air. Maybe we are working so hard because for the lack of air. Okay, y'all didn't get it. Maybe we doing all this extra work because of the lack of prayer. Maybe we ain't got to do so many programs, and if we just get in the face of God, and he give us one idea, we ain't got to try to keep coming up with some time after time. And we keep working hard trying to get people to come into the church when all you got to do is go into prayer and God say, "I got it." So what would happen that I would get 8 hours, but I wouldn't get no rest. Real prayer calls you to rest in him. But when you ain't connected to no out, you fight for rest. So you laying now, but your, and what will eventually happen, because your heart overworks, you'll die of heart congestion. So what happens is, he keep programming us, but we ain't keep praying. Yes, so what he's saying is, your program is becoming a python. You'll show up for the program, but you won't show up for prayer. So I'm going to keep squeezing. And the thing about it is this. When the python squeeze you, he don't eat you right away. So guess what? You dead and don't even know it. So the shell of the body is there, but ain't no life in it. Ain't no life in some of our churches because ain't no prayer in some of our churches. So I got a need to breathe. So the church usually has a shell. Paul said you have a form of God, but deny the power thereof. Can you imagine the squeeze? You know how it'll be there. Can't go to prayer today. Smiling, but I'm It's not. Because we ain't in no prayer. I can't. I keep missing prayer meeting. Oh, it just prayer. That's all. God really don't answer my prayer. Well, funny about Saul is that Saul was content to never really have the Ark of the Covenant. And the first thing David did, he said, I gotta have a presence. Without prayer, without life, we just going through. We paying our tithes. We saying, hey, how you doing? We even feeding the homeless. Clothing the naked. But it's dead. Nobody coming to life. I'm just dead. I'm doing all the things. But he said, return unto me. He tell one church, you've done all those things. But you forgot one. Return unto your first love. Meet me in your prayer closet. Meet me in your prayer room. Can you sacrifice one Saturday just for the prayer meeting? I'm just trying to figure out. You ain't saw nothing move. Because before I let you go, I gotta let you know why the man in my spirit. It was prayer that got Paul out. It was prayer that sent him to Lydia's. If you notice, the lady didn't show up. The lady didn't show up till after the midday. The lady didn't show up till after. Till after Lydia got saved. I can't let the word continue to go on. Paul says, I'm here anyway because God sent me over here through a vision I got in prayer. It was going to prayer that he encountered the girl. It was because of prayer that the girl got delivered. It was because of prayer, if you go to verse 25, that he got sent to jail. It was while in jail, him and Paul and Silas prayed and sang at midnight. It was because of the prayer, because of the earthquake. But because of the earthquake, there was a jailer there. Is this the man from Macedonia? This is the man from Macedonia. The man, because of prayer, saw the power of God. He was finna kill himself. Paul said, don't kill yourself. said, what must I do to be saved? It's amazing God is sending you through all that for one man in his house. And it all started. Let me tell you something. In this city alone, we have some dynamic. And until we all join our faith, now the first person he wants to change is prayer. He don't want to change your co-worker. He don't want to change your boss. First person he want to deal with in prayer is you. He tells Israel and Hosea, he said, just tell him I want to talk to him in the wilderness by himself. You see, in wilderness, all he ever wanted was to just talk to us. He said, Adam, I'm coming down to talk to you. Say, in the cool of the day. I ain't even going to make it be hot for you, Adam. I'll make it comfortable for you to talk to me at this moment. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13, I always get this quiz. I'm giving it to y'all now. It's easy. I do this to every minister. I say, read Mark 3, 13. What is it? I said, what did Jesus call them to do? He said, go preach. Go ahead. He said, okay, read it again. Go preach. Good. He said, you missed the main thing. He said, he picked 12 so they could be with him. So he could send them out. You going, but you ain't really been sent. Ain't nothing wrong with just going. Hear me. We need to go. But maybe you on the wrong assignment because you hadn't been with him. And until our churches start getting back with him, we'll miss the glory. It was divine that I started it off because I don't know what they preaching there, but until we start off in prayer, until we start in our secret place, the secret place. He say, you pray for me in secret, I reward you openly. It's the secret place. It's the secret things of God. The secret place. Anybody remember when he first heard his voice? Who want their prayer life back? I'm talking about a real prayer. I'm talking about, I want my prayer life back, Lord. I want when I first got saved, I just stayed up and talked about you all day. It wasn't about who liked my posts on Facebook. It wasn't about who tweeted me. It wasn't about IG. I just want to be in your word. I just want to hear your voice. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? You remember when you couldn't stop talking about God? Then they started telling you were too deep. We're time for us to get back to being deep. Because what we have now is a bunch of shallowness. We got a lot of people who see Pastor Tony or Bishop Jace or somebody else, and they see that. They don't understand. Bishop Jace wrote a book called Crushing. They don't realize the pain that it goes through, the turmoil at night, the thorn in your side that'll make you pray. The thing that'll crush you. You can't get on the phone to talk about this one. Lord, I don't know what to do with my children. You can't give up. Meet me in prayer, says the Lord. Lord, my husband acting crazy. My wife's acting crazy. Meet me in prayer. Your phone brother can't do this for you. Meet me in prayer. Come unto me. Meet me in prayer. Stand to your feet. need to breathe. I need to breathe. I need a fresh wind. God said, you need to breathe. Let me do this. Is there anybody in here tonight who maybe haven't had an initial face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to offer you the opportunity to meet the Savior, the Lord of Lords, the King of the people. He'll answer you. He'll meet you right where you're at. That's my first altar call. Here's my second passage. I done came down this thing before, so I'm binding all pride right now. Lord, I want my pride like that. Lord, I want to go deeper in prayer. The altar is open. Lord, I need to get deeper in prayer. I'm letting distraction bother me. I'm instead of praying, I'm talking about the situation. Lord, I need revelation from my situation. Lord, I need prayer. I need a fresh wind. I need a fresh wind on my life. I'm busy right now. I'm busy, but I ain't productive. I ain't being fruitful. I'm not being fruitful. I want my prayer life back. I need my prayer life back, God. I want my prayer life back. I need my prayer life, God. You're waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'm turning back over, going to sleep. Lord, I ain't fasting, I don't know when. I ain't fasting a church call one. And you prompted me the other day. I want my prayer life back, Lord. I'm preoccupied with other stuff. I want to taste your glory. I want your glory. I want your glory. Anybody else? I know if these pastors and ministers come, don't let pride hold you. Don't let pride hold you. Don't worry about if I didn't shout you or not. If you know your prayer life is shambles, let's get it. Help me, Lord. I'm running on fumes. I'm running on fumes. Lord, I thank you for today. We thank you for your word. I thank you for these, your people, Lord. You've touched their heart. You've touched their heart to come and take them deeper in prayer, God. God, show them the distraction. Show them the things they need to cut off. They may even be truthful things. They may even be good things, God, but they're not God things, God. Show them what's crowding their schedule to keep them from you, God. Show them if they need to wake up early in the morning, God. Show them their time, Lord. Let them trim the fat so they can make room for you, God. God, I speak of freshness, a newness. A wave of glory, Lord God, comes through here now and refreshing them, Lord God. And God, you reward them with this new prayer time, God, with fresh, innovative ideas. Entrepreneurial spirit is birthing here today, Lord God. A fresh wind, God. Show them, Lord God, what they need to cut out. Show them the time you like to meet. Meet them even in their dreams. Give them a sweet rest. Sweet rest, God. Renew a pastor in him today, God. Renew a minister. Renew a mother. Renew a father. Renew a sister or brother, God. Renew us in your presence, God. And it's in your presence that we will birth something new. Because we can't be intimate with you, God, not being pregnant. Let us see prayer as the beginning of worship. We sing your son Jesus' name. We